Today we're actually concluding our series on facing the new year, and we're talking about facing the new year with God's presence. So we're going to pray and we're going to talk about that. Father, we commit this time into your hands, and we just ask for the next 20 minutes or so, you would help us to quiet our minds and to focus on what you have to say to us from your word. Lord, we really need your presence because in a broken world and difficult times, we need to know that you're with us and that we're not alone. So, Father, we ask that you would really minister to us today, that you would empower my words by your Spirit and that you would speak to all our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been reflecting recently on the power of presence. Perhaps you know what that means. For many of us, when we go through times of grief and sorrow, we lose a loved one, we're going in a difficult time, when someone just sits with us who we love, who we trust, and is just there, they may not even say any words, but they're just available and present with us in that grief, it's actually extremely comforting and actually can bring a great deal of peace. I know when my dad passed away in the hospital bed, you know, near the end, we weren't saying a lot, but we were just there for each other. And there was a sense of peace and love and care for each other that was unspoken. And that's what counselors call the power of presence. And it's powerful, isn't it? Sometimes we don't know what to say to people when they're in grief, but actually just to be available and be there can be extremely powerful. Sometimes no words are more powerful, certainly, than many words. Well, today we're going to talk about facing the new year with God's presence. And I think it's something we increasingly need in measure these days, because our world seems more complicated, more difficult, more stressful. Even if we watch from afar, for example, with Trump and the Hillary campaigns, we saw and we still see quite a divided America. Or in our own backyard, we see quite still many racial divisions. We live in a world where we very much need God's presence and his peace. And his peace comes from his presence. So as we talk about this, let me say this. The power of presence that we give is powerful, but the power of presence that God gives is far more powerful and incredibly rich and actually extremely transformative. And I hope that we leave today recognizing that God is present with us, that we are not alone, and that we can find immense comfort and strength in that fact. Now, Paul addresses this power of presence in our lives in Ephesians chapter 3, where he gets down on his knees. Now, let's just pause there for a moment. Traditionally, or typically, a Jewish person who was praying would stand. But if they were extremely earnest, extremely sincere, extremely heartfelt about something they were talking to God about, they may get on their knees. And so Paul gets on his knees. So from the get-go, it tells us Paul earnestly prays something for us that is close to his heart and extremely important. He gets down on his knees and he sincerely prays that we might experience God's presence in our lives in three remarkable ways. Three remarkable ways. And the first remarkable way is God is present with us through his Spirit. God is present with us through his Spirit. Now, Paul says, we're going to work through Ephesians 3:14 onwards today, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that's God's riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, let me pause. First of all, let me just say, to have Christ living in us is the same as having the Spirit dwelling within us, okay? So when we talk about the Spirit living in us, of course, if the Spirit lives in us, Christ dwells within us. That's the context. What Paul is asking God here is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, our faith would grow deeper and deeper and that we would become more like Jesus. Through the power of the Spirit, our faith would grow deeper and deeper and that we would become more like Jesus. Now, there's some very good news in that. It's not our own power and effort that helps us to grow deeper and deeper and more like Jesus. Yes, there's an element to that, isn't it? Obedience. But God is the one at work within us doing it. We don't do it alone. And if the God of the universe, who casts the stars into space and can raise the living and the dead, that God lives within you and I. We are not alone. His presence is most clearly with us. Now, I think it's wonderful that God is at work in us by his Spirit to strengthen our faith day by day, don't you? That each day we start anew, afresh, because he's with us from the beginning of the day till the end. And he's there to help us to become more like him. He's the ultimate mentor because he lives within us. We can call on him 24/7. Now, I find the fact that God is doing this in us by his Spirit is so deeply comforting because it means we are not doing faith by ourselves. We're not doing faith by ourselves. We're not alone, as I said, in our Christian walk. In fact, when difficulty and heartbreak comes in our lives, God is strengthening each one of us to hold on to him and to grow in our faith through his Spirit, even in trials. That's also good news, isn't it? That even when hardships come, God by his Spirit is working within us to grow us again. Even our pain is not meaningless in the powerful hands of a wonderful God. So God's presence is with us, and he's working in us to make us more like him and strengthen our faith. Now, just as God is present with us through his Spirit, God is also present with us through his love. Through his love. And God's love is amazing, isn't it? Let's listen to what Paul says about God's love with us. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established," or other translations say rooted and grounded in love, "may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What Paul says here is God is present with us in his love, and together we can know his love more. If you're young, or even if you're old, certainly I remember when I was young, you fall in and out of love, don't you? Love is more of an emotion than a commitment. But God's love to us is absolute. It is iron cast. When he says he loves us, it's not a fickle love that comes and goes. It is a sure, certain love. And there are two parts to knowing this love, to knowing it more. The first relates to our love, and the second relates to Christ's love. Now, when it comes to our love, which is A, our love, Paul is speaking to us as believers and prays that we might be rooted and established in love, or, put another way, rooted and grounded in love. So Paul starts off by saying to us as believers, our love for each other should be deeply rooted and be a firm foundation. Deeply rooted and a firm foundation. In other words, our love for each other shouldn't be superficial, but deep. It shouldn't just be a friendly hello on Sunday. Now, I don't think it's possible for every single one of us to have a deep love every single moment for everyone here. There's just too many people, isn't there? But in our church, in our community, where we are made of many people, there are people, as we get to know in church, where we can show that love more and more profoundly. We can show our love by, if we find out someone is struggling, by helping them out, right? By maybe providing clothes or food or some sort of hamper. We can help out those in the church we may not even know well who are struggling with grief, and we can perhaps bake a meal for them. There are so many ways we can show love to each other. You see, what he's saying here is our love for each other shouldn't be superficial but deep, and in a world that is so divided, as I said before, our world seems completely messed up and dysfunctional, we should be a shining light of unity and love. When people come into our church, they should say, "I left feeling loved. I want to keep coming to this place because they just care for me." And I think our church does that reasonably well. I often joke with a newcomer, I say, if you don't feel welcomed here, something went horribly wrong. It should be a community of love, a great community of love. So as part of God's family, love should be the soil in which our life is rooted and the foundation on which our life is built. So as we love God, we should love each other. But how does this love relate to God's presence in us? We're talking about our love. How does that relate to God's presence in us? Well, we can only love like this when we have the powerful help of God's Spirit living in us, dwelling in us. We can only love like this by the power of the Spirit. With that in mind, then, how do we know the presence of God's love more in our lives? How do we know the presence of God's love more in our lives? Well, Paul goes on to explain that as believers together, we can know Christ's love more. Let's talk about that. Paul prays, Christ's love, Paul prays that we might have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Now, they're good words, aren't they? I love these words. The power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. In other words, he prays we might understand how much Jesus loves us and how great his love is. He wants us to know the width of Jesus' love, which is wide enough to encompass all people, all nations, Jews and Gentiles. It is a very, very big love. He wants us to know the length of Jesus' love, which is long enough to last forever, for all eternity. It's a love that doesn't run out. He wants us to know the height of Jesus' love, which is high enough to exalt him to the highest heavens. He wants us to know the depth of God's love, which is deep enough to reach the most rotten sinners. Paul wants us to know how much Jesus loves us. That he is present with us through his love. Now, I love how ancient commentators describe Jesus' love. They saw these dimensions of Christ's love on the cross. They said that the upright bar of the cross goes down, reaching into the earth, so to reach sinners. And it points up to heaven to show the way to God. So the upright bar goes down into the earth, symbolizing Jesus reaching sinners. And it goes up to the sky, pointing towards heaven, showing the way to God. And the crossbar, which carried the arms of Jesus, stretched out as if to invite and welcome the whole world. The cross showed us that God loves us and is present with us through his love. Isn't that a lovely picture? But before we move on, listen to this. Paul adds that we will have power to grasp these dimensions of Jesus' love only together with all the Lord's holy people. Only together can we grasp the depth of God's love. You see, an isolated Christian, and I have a good friend of mine who doesn't attend church and just has some views that he doesn't want to come to church for a variety of his own reasons. But the problem with that, and the scriptures tell us here, that an isolated Christian can only grasp God's love so much because they're limited by their own experience. They're limited by their own experience. It requires all of us together, all God's people, to understand God's vast love. You see, collectively, we share a much broader understanding and experience of God's love than one individual. So, our different experiences, our different cultures, upbringing, and background reveal different pieces of the puzzle of Christ's love. Isn't that cool? So as a body, we grow in a deeper understanding of God's love. And so even after the service today, when we're at morning tea, we should share those experiences in our understanding of Jesus' love, because that's what helps us to grow in an understanding of the depth of God's love. That's how we gain a deeper understanding of God's love. That's why we do Bible study. That's why we do church. It helps us together to understand God's love more deeply. And things are better as a community, aren't they? Who wants to be alone? Isn't it good to do community well? And to love each other, and to grow in God's love. It's fantastic. So let's not give up meeting together as a church. If you feel like, oh, church is just too hard for me to come, I'm busy with sport or work, let's not give up doing that, because it's together that we grow in the knowledge of Christ's love. And it's so important. Especially when others are hurting us, in a community of God's people, we should learn how much God loves us. Paul then wraps up this section by saying, though we don't fully grasp the extent of Christ's love because it's just so massive, we're not going to fully get it till we get to heaven, which is pretty cool to think. Christ's love is so big that we can't fully get it, except when we get to heaven and we'll be like, oh my goodness, this is ridiculous, and we'll spend eternity going, you love me so much, you love me so much, this is crazy, it's crazy, it's crazy. Wow, wow. Maybe not those words, but you get it. Okay. He encourages us to do this in his conclusion of these verses. He encourages us to grow in the knowledge of Christ's love. Why does he encourage us to grow in the knowledge of Christ's love? Because it will help us to become fully mature Christians. Now that should spur us on to become more like our loving Lord each day, knowing God's Spirit will help us, and being reassured that ultimately one day, yes, we will be made perfect in heaven. So let's seek to love others and know Christ's love more. Remembering that we're not alone because God is present with us through his love and his Spirit. So let's just remember these two things so far. we are not alone because God, the almighty creator of the universe who raised the dead, lives inside you and me. We're not alone. And we're not alone because his love is with us and cannot be taken from us. Isn't that good news when your house, your car, your job, or your loved one can be taken from you? But God's love cannot be taken from you. And it will last forever, forever and ever. Well, the final remarkable way that God is present with us is through his power, through his power. Now, at times, we can feel powerless in our lives, can't we? We can feel powerless to change, to break through barriers or hurdles that stand in our way. We feel like we can't do anything about this. We can't change this. We can't change this addiction or this struggle or whatever it might be. We can't change, and we feel disempowered. But the reality is that we are not powerless because Paul clearly states this. And have a listen. If you feel powerless ever, listen to what he says. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, did you hear what he said? God is able to do more than we could ask or ever imagine because of his great power working within us. He is able to answer our prayers and so much more. The actual verb for immeasurably more here is hyperperizo, which means what it sounds like, hyperabundance, vastly more than, infinitely more. It is hyper more, more, more. In other words, Paul is saying there is no limits to what God can do for you and I. It is limitless, limitless. And there is no limits to what he can do within us. No limits to what he can do for you and I. No limits to what he can do in us. And I think that should give us hope today, don't you think? That the limitless God can do limitless things inside each one of us. It might be that you're struggling with a life journey of depression. It might be you're struggling with the heartache of a loss of a loved one. It might be that work is extremely difficult or your family is very dysfunctional. But the reality is that you are not limited because God is powerful enough to help you to be transformed. You're not held down by others. And that might be a journey. And God, for some reason, might allow you to continue to go through this journey, but he is in the process of making you like Christ. And he will work in you, and he will help you. And this infinite ability of God to work beyond our prayers, our thoughts, and our dreams comes through what? His power at work within us. It's his power that enables God to do this. That's the power of the Holy Spirit within us individually. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within us as a people of God, the church. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, enthroned him in the heavenly realm, and also raised us and enthroned us with him. That is the power that is at work within us to do infinitely more than we can imagine. It is the power of the Almighty God. So you and I are not powerless because God is present and is with us through his power. Now, this is lovely, isn't it? He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our dreams. He knows our prayers. And he's a God of superabundance. He's able to help us to love each other, and he's able to help us to change and to even make our dreams come true. That's not just a catch cry for Walt Disney. He's actually able to make our dreams come true. Now, let me just say this. That doesn't mean that if you want a Ferrari, he's going to make that dream come true. Unless he really wants to use your Ferrari for his glory. Wow, praise the Lord for that. He wants you to walk closely with him, and then he will place his dreams on your heart, and those dreams will come true. And to that God, Paul says this, to the God who is present with us by his Spirit, by his love, and by his power, Paul sums up and says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What is our appropriate response to the fact that God is present with us in these three remarkable ways? To say, praise your name, Lord. You are awesome. You are worthy to be praised. I give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So why don't we ask God today to strengthen the conviction that God's word says to us that he is with us by his Spirit, that he is with us by his love, and that he is with us by his power. And in the knowledge of that he might give us peace. Thank you.